Shabbat Shalom. Everybody has their own iteration of the recurring anxiety dream that pops up every so often in their lives. Many of us have the common showing up for a final that they didn't study for or a class that they never attended. I think almost everyone has the dream where they show up at school or at a board meeting or at a presentation in their pajamas or in their underwear or, if you're really unlucky, altogether naked. I have one from my 20 years as a teacher where I'm giving a class and nobody is listening. They just keep talking like I'm not there. But I have one of these anxiety dreams that's a little different than those, perhaps totally unique. It shows up in my dreams maybe once a month. In this dream, I'm on my way to the airport. I get to the airport and I'm late for my plane. I can't get through security, or I don't have a passport, or I forgot my bags and I have to go find them, and I find myself wandering around the airport in my dream. The beige corridors of the airline gates and the baggage carousels and the security kiosks and mazes, they all extend in every single direction. No matter where I'm headed, they change mysteriously and without warning, like those moving staircases at Hogwarts in the Harry Potter books and movies. I could be standing at gate A2 1 minute, and the next I'm wandering past gate C317 for the third time. In this dream, I never get to my plane. But also, I never miss it. I just keep wandering and wandering through the airport. That's, to be honest, not actually true. One time, I did arrive at the gate to find that I'd missed the plane. And so they told me to go to customer service to get booked onto the next flight. And then, of course, I wandered the airport for hours and hours, perhaps an eternity, because I was never able to find customer service. I feel fairly certain you all know where I'm going with this. We have all been living this dream for the past 35 days. We are living this dream now. And the next weeks and months looking forward, we are continuing in this dream. Our lives are all suspended in a state of anxious, lost wandering, where we spend so much of our time looking forward to the, quote, end of quarantine, when we can, quote, get back to normal. Every day in our homes is endless wandering. I think I'll see what's on Netflix. Let me bake something. I'll read the latest headlines in the newspaper. Whoops, that was a bad decision. Now I need to stress eat all of the cake that I just baked. Oh, hey, look, I'm on another Zoom call. Is this one morning prayer, or the class I'm taking, or my kid's piano lesson, or an actual work meeting? Maybe when this is over, I'll take a walk. Maybe I'll walk around the block counterclockwise today instead of clockwise. That'll be a switch. And so on and so on. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We are reaching that point in the pandemic quarantine, though, where there is something resembling a light at the end of the tunnel. The thing is, that light is actually just a different tunnel. By that I mean we might sometime soon reach the point where the full-on lockdown quarantine is over. However, we won't be going to any sporting events or concerts or plays in public. And medically vulnerable people will still be in quarantine, and large social gatherings will still be off limits. Not yet, but soon, we will find that we have arrived at the gate and we have made it on the plane, only to find that we are landing at another airport where we will need to wander around looking for another gate. The uncertainty of our current situation is maddening. And the only thing for certain is that it's going to continue. There are a lot of ways of framing chaos, tragedy, and uncertainty in a theological manner. Rabbi Moses Maimonides liked to think that God created an ordered universe that simply sometimes defied our mortal understanding. Rabbi Harold Kushner understood the chaos as somewhat out of God's control, that the rules of God's universe that God's self laid down are sometimes beyond the control of the Almighty God's self. I like the understanding of Christian theologian Paul Tillich, who understood the uncertainty of the modern world through a quote from the prophet Isaiah. Vayirashu misode aretz, ro'eh hit ro'a'a ha'aretz, pur hit porera aretz, mot hit moteta aretz. In English, and the earth's foundations tremble. The earth is breaking, breaking. The earth is crumbling, crumbling. The earth is tottering, tottering. What Tillich understood in all this is that modern humans seem to think that we have it all under control. We split the atom, we sequence the human genome, and we forgot that God hardwired chaos into the universe. Tomorrow is uncertain because today is uncertain, same as it ever was. Our Torah portion for this past week, Shmini, opens with the eighth day of dedication for the Mishkan, the portable tabernacle which the Israelites used for worship of God before they settled in Israel. At the end of last week's Parsha, Tzav, they were commanded to make a bunch of stuff, and to wear a bunch of stuff, and to sacrifice a bunch of stuff. For 94 verses in the Parsha, they have orders to follow and things to build and sacrifices to make. And then for the final four verses, they are told this: "You shall remain at the entrance of the tent of meeting day and night for 7 days, keeping the Lord's charge, that you may not die, for so have I commanded." The priests are quarantined, on penalty of death, to the courtyard in front of the tent of meeting for a week. Interesting. The priests are busy, busy, busy getting ready, and then boom, they must stop, without any explanation from God as to why. We could assume it is so they do not become unclean, ritually speaking, but we really don't know why, and neither the Torah nor the traditional commentators gives us a good reason. And then on the eighth day, the tabernacle is dedicated with four offerings: the chatat, or sin offering, the olah, or burnt offering, the shlemim, or well-being offering, and the mincha, or meal offering. We no longer do the offerings, since we no longer have a temple at which to make sacrifices. However, the great rabbis throughout the ages have used the language of the sacrifices as homiletical vehicles to explore the ideas and meanings in Jewish ritual life. The Baal Shem Tov, the originator of the entire Hasidic school of thought, which you can all study in depth every week in my Life in Text class, Wednesdays, 12:15 p.m. on Zoom. Link is at the Beth Shalom and Brit Shalom Erie webpages. It was the Baal Shem Tov who said the following regarding the second of these offerings, the Olah offering. It is written, "Zot Torat ha'olah." This is the Torah, which both is the olah, but also ascends. What kind of Torah ascends and flourishes above? That which goes up and remains burning. Torah that is learned with fiery enthusiasm and in sacred fire. The Baal Shem Tov continues by quoting the principal mystical book of Kabbalah, the Zohar, when he says, "In Tikkuni Zohar it is written, Torah that is not learned with fear and love will not flourish above." Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem is referencing a bigger idea in Jewish thought about creating understanding of God through balance, that to love God only for the wondrous creation that God makes for us is only half the puzzle. We must also understand God for the aspects of life that are not beautiful or wonderful or uplifting, things that are dreary or hard, things that are mundane or irritating, things that cause suffering or pain or even death. God gives us both of these in life, and we never quite know which is coming, when, or where. We are constantly roaming in an airport of uncertainty, hoping to find light and joy and pleasantness, or perhaps our lost luggage. The Zohar is referencing an idea we all sing about every morning in prayer before reciting Shema, and most, if not all of us, blow past it without thinking too deeply about what it means. In the Ahava Rabbah prayer we say, V'ha'erinenu b'toratecha v'dabek libenu b'mitzvotecha. V'yached levavenu le'ahava u'yira et shemecha. And enlighten our eyes to your Torah, and make our heart cling to your commandments, and unify our hearts to love and fear your name. You know the prayer. Yada, yada, yada. We are supposed to find that balance between love for God and fear for God, despite the reality that we never really know which one God is going to emphasize next in our lives. This deeper understanding, as the Baal Shem Tov teaches, is the thing that truly enlightens our eyes to Torah. Bringing together the love and the fear brings truth and casts away anxiety. As we depart Pesach and move toward Shavuot, we count the Omer each night. Every day and every week of the Omer corresponds to one of the 10 divine attributes, the 10 Sefirot of Kabbalah. We begin on day one with Chesed Sheba Chesed, loving kindness that is in loving kindness. The eighth day of the Omer was the first day of the second week, or Chesed Sheba Gvura, loving kindness that is in strength. And the tenth day is Tiferet Sheba Gvura, beauty that is in strength. In Kabbalah, it is taught that love of God is part of Chesed, and fear of God and awe of the divine is part of Gevura. The two are corresponding and complementary opposites. On the spherotic tree, Chesed is on the right and Gevura is on the left. When the two are balanced perfectly, they meet in the middle at another sphera called Tiferet, beauty. Tiferet, this balanced sphera in the middle, is not living in joy and happiness and splendor and perfection all the time. Tiferet is the point of living in uncertainty and just going with the flow. Of wandering in that airport, not knowing where your gate is, or where your luggage is, or if you missed your flight, and also being okay with it. Because you know that somewhere in Terminal B is that place that sells the really good gluten-free cookies. And also, hey, sometimes you miss your flight. Tiferet is a kind of radical acceptance that sometimes we receive divine chesed, and sometimes we receive divine gevura. Sometimes it's the love, and sometimes it's the strong hand of retribution. In turn, we connect with the divine through ahava, love, or yira, awe. The full acceptance of these two things is Tiferet, beauty. That, the Baal Shem Tov might say, is Torah that both truly ascends and transcends. Ascends because it takes our human understanding higher, and transcends because it takes us out of the small spaces of our houses in which we've been stuck for a month, and takes contemplating and understanding our situation fully an opportunity to understand the unity of the divine, the Yachad. That is Tiferet. On a related and concluding note, New York Times writer David Marchese interviewed the Buddhist thinker Jack Kornfield this last week. In the interview, Marchese asked, "The uncertainty about how long the pandemic and the social distancing and the quarantining will last is a big part of what's so unsettling. It's hard to imagine month three of this, you know?" Kornfield responded, "When you live in speculative thoughts, how long is it going to last? Will I make it through 3 more days or 3 more months? How does that make you feel? Is that thinking helpful in some way?" Marchese replied, "Nope." Kornfield then expounded, "You can either spend your time worrying, which you just noted doesn't actually help, or you can say, I don't know how long it will be, but let me do the most magnificent work I can while I'm here. Let me live in this life fully. That's what one day at a time means." We would all prefer not to be subjected to the difficulties that this situation creates. We all wish that the not knowing that comes with this experience and the anxiety of what the future holds would just end and give way to some certainty. But to some degree, there was always uncertainty on the horizon for us in life. Uncertainty in health, in work, in family, and even in our social relationships. This pandemic has just made those uncertainties come to us all at once and suddenly. But instead of looking at all of that uncertainty like a cliff we've been pushed off of, let us use it now as a chance to refine our thoughts and focus on the now. Instead of focusing on the scary parts, let us bring the scary parts together with the wonderful parts, the same way we do with the rest of our lives, to find unity in the whole of the experience and find understanding in both the uncertain chaos and the calm order. Together, we'll try and find balance. It's okay to feel anxious and unsettled. We cannot control the situation, but we can control the way we think about the situation and what thoughts and understandings and meditations we bring to it. We may not know what lies ahead. We may not make our flight. We may wander this airport for a long time more, searching for a gate to our flight out of here. But I also remember that the cookie place that we passed a little while ago is pretty close to where we are right now. And if not, if there's one thing I've learned in this entire pandemic, it's that I hear that everybody delivers these days. Shabbat Shalom.